Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and we are thankful for another day of grace, another day in which we can bring this message of grace to you. And as we study the Bible rightly divided, the only way you can study the Bible and get profit out of it and doctrine and reproof and correction. And once again, it's another beautiful day. I stepped out a little while ago and the warmth of the sun is coming down, and it's just a beautiful crisp morning, still springtime. We haven't got into the summer months yet, but it's coming. A couple days, this is June 13th, another 7-8 days, and it'll be the first day of summer. So I know many of us have been thinking about that in the winter months, and when it's cold and dreary and dark, and now we have the springtime ending and the summertime coming up, and it's just going to be a glorious day. We can have glorious days even in this evil world in which we live in, and the fact that when we're in Christ and Christ is in us, it makes all the glory seem possible, and being a light in this dark world. We know there's times out there that it seems like it's never going to end. It seems like pressure's coming down, depression's coming down, you know, that type of thing. It's always something. But we have to remind ourselves, since the fall of man, since Adam and Eve was deceived, Adam made a choice, and sin entered the world through Adam by one man. It's been that way, you know. But the thing that the technology and the things that we have today, and people controlling it, and who is controlling the big lie, is God of this world, Satan. And we're in the times of the Gentiles, and we went through that many, many times. But when you think about that and understand that God's program and what he's doing today is totally different than he had ever done in his past. And when he talked about, but now, that's what he's doing today. And once you understand what he's doing today and understand that how you get in the body of Christ, you can understand what's around you in times past, but now in ages come. That's how we study the Bible. But before we get into that, I do want to remind you, Grace School of Bible's Summer Family Bible Conference is July 17th through the 22nd, 2021. We are looking forward to that. The theme is putting our world back together again. And there's around 21 speakers there. And you can have, if you want more information, you can go to graceimpact.org for this. They would like for you to know if you're coming, to let them know, please let us know if you're willing to join us by info@graceimpact.org. So they will kind of want to know how many people is going to be there. We're excited about it. I talked to Brother Richard about coming. My topic is godly fathers, and it's kind of hitting home. I didn't have a godly father growing up that many of you and I have today. But I'll be talking about that on Tuesday of that week. So it's going to be a great theme. It's some of the things that is a essential to our growth and how to put this world back together again. You know, many of us are looking forward to that. Many of us look towards political ways to putting the world back together. But this world is run by the God of this world. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile today. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and him and the Father and the Holy Ghost are there talking and looking at this grace age and allowing us to make some decisions. And many of us make good decisions. Many of us make bad decisions. Many of us have been making decisions since we was 8 years old. Many of us are just now making decisions, you know, that type of thing. So with that conference coming up, and it's just a great time in the summer. Brother Richard mentions, if you're looking, let's see how he says it.
Vacation with an eternal
purpose. There you go. Vacation with eternal purpose. I thought it was on here somewhere. Anyway, he's got a little phrase about that, and I thought it was on here, but my wife kind of pretty much hit it on what the gist of it is. Prayer requests, praise items. We thank you for praying for us. Many of you have talked to me and what we're doing in the Cambridge, Ohio area. We still think about our church in Canton, Ohio, and the saints that are there. But keep us in mind also that we're planning a church here, have been planning a church. COVID kind of made us join here. So if you know anybody in the Cambridge area, Southeast Ohio, we have targeted about a 40-mile radius through Facebook ads and all. And so if you're interested in joining us, you're more than welcome. We have room and we have standing room.
lots of it.
So anyway, some people like, how do you do it? You know, it's just you and your wife. Well, it's always been just me and my wife in a way when we started stuff. And their kids. Our kids are all grown. Our youngest one is 26. And he's still my baby, but still he's a young man, and he's making decisions on his own, we just got to appreciate our youth and our young adults, and some of them's making some good decisions and based on who they are in Christ, and we're thankful for that. Just this past week, I had a time with our grandchildren, and what a blessed time with those. I can't believe our youngest granddaughter is still just 1 1/2, 1 3/4, and almost 2. And, you know, when you see pictures of them from far away and you talk to them on Facebook, they seem this big. You know, they seem like, but when you get to them, like, they're still babies, you know. And you got to, you know, you look at them, and I enjoyed the time there. We took one picture of, there's some big horses at the ranch, and one of them's got a head like this, and Josie's, the head of the horse is bigger than Josie. You know, it's like, whoa, you know, she is a baby. But anyway, we enjoyed that time. We encourage you to enjoy your family time. You know, sometimes when you think about that, family is all you got sometimes. And when we moved up from Virginia to start a church, the people of our church was our family. We don't have any close relatives here that we can lean on to or cry on the shoulder or smile. And, you know, we miss the picnic and the gatherings in the backyards and stuff like that. But, you know, when you have a local church and you have people coming, they're coming corporately, then you become the part of their family and they become a part of your family. So we like to encourage you to join us because, you know, many families are out there and different ways and means. Let's go in word prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about the prayer requests and praise items and the ministries that's going on, not only locally but beyond, we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We think of the work they're doing. We just like encourage them to continue to press forward, keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling, and we will once again be who we are in Christ by the power that you have given us through your word and through the spirit that you have left with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We left off last week. This is lesson 12, with June 13th, 2021. And if you're following along, last week I hope you got the message on different avenues. But I hope we're back up and running on our regular stations and Facebook and YouTube and Boxcast and even on our website. But anyway, we're moving. We had been talking about the promise, the dispensation promise, and we're moving from that promise into the law. And if you think about that in Exodus 19, when Moses came on the scene, and when God brings Israel out of as a nation under Moses, he adds a new dispensation. And what the law does is to fortify that middle wall partition. Once again, what is the middle wall partition? It's circumcision, okay? And God made some promises, covenants about this nation. He never made covenants and promises with the nations. And it's very, very important to understand that because people today will try to put you under a covenant theology. They say, well, this is for you. This is what God was doing for you. No, it's not, okay? God made a covenant and a promise and a testament to the nation Israel. And when he actually forms the nation, he brings them out on the stage of history. He gives them a law and the Mosaic covenant. And when the law identifies more than just circumcision, and it takes a distinction from circumcision had made and makes a legal reality to it. Okay, many of us wants reality. I always consider myself a realist. My wife considers myself as a pessimist. Okay, and I'm like, are they the same? No, they're not in my books. But anyway, a realist looks at the thing, says, here it is, facts, truth, deal with it. And what God did with the law, he fortified the circumcision and made it a reality for the nation Israel. Now, you got to think about this for a minute. What does the law does? It strengthens the wall of partition, middle wall of partition. There was a wall between, if I can say this, us and them. You know, many of them still puts a wall between us and them. And God don't have a wall today in the but now. But we're talking about this time period over here when this law was introduced to the promise. And it takes the distinction between Israel and the nations and makes it impregnable. And no way to climb over it, no way to climb under it, no way to go around it. You had one way to get through it. And the only way to go through it was the door that God gave them. And we talked about those doors. We talked about Israel being the light of the world. And the only way you got to God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was through Israel. You either had to become a Jew, what we call a proselyte if you're a Gentile, or you blessed them that blessed them. And when you blessed them, guess what you got? You got blessings. Let me ask you today. Today, in the dispensation of grace, if you try to bless Israel over there, what does God give you? Okay? Many people don't understand that. But God is not blessing the nations through a nation. God has blessed us through His Son, Christ Jesus, in the dispensation of grace, and hath given us all spiritual blessings, and have made us sit in heavenly places. We're already there spiritually. So there's nothing you can get spiritually to add to all blessings. All means what? All means all in the Greek. All means all in the Hebrew. All means God. All means all in English. Okay? Spanish, whatever your language may be. But the thing is, in Galatians, be turning Galatians chapter 3 and get Deuteronomy chapter 4. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 says, wherefore then serveth the law? In other words, God promised, God gave the promise to who?
Israel.
Not only Israel, but who did he first give the promise to?
Abraham.
So why did he give them the law then? It was what? Added because of transgressions till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now, the law did not do away with what was already promised. Okay, but it was what? Added. And notice it was added till the seed shall come, and to whom the promises was what? Made. Until the Redeemer comes, the law is there. Now, many of us look at the fact that, you know, the Redeemer's come, the law is still there. That's the way they look at you, law. Law, law, law. Law was added to the promise until the Redeemer comes. And there's a limited time until Christ comes. Verse 16 tells us the seed is the who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, has the Lord Jesus Christ come? He had come, didn't he? But they also see he's coming again over here.
Right.
So you got to think about those things that they're looking at over here. And the law is not done away with at the birth of Christ. It's not done away with, let's back up a minute. The law did not start when Moses was at his birth. Okay? The law did not start when he tried to deliver them first out of Israel. It did not start when Israel came into the wilderness. It did not start even when they crossed over the Red Sea. It was after they got out of the wilderness and God made a covenant in Exodus chapter 24. So you got to think about that for a little bit. So the law is not done away with the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. Okay? And it's not even done away with at the cross of Christ. We need to understand how it does done away with. And this is the covenant. What it did away with was a covenant made with Moses. The Mosaic covenant, which we call the Old Covenant or Old Testament, is done away with according to Hebrews 7, 8, 9, and 10 by a new covenant. Okay? God's going to create a new covenant with the nation Israel over here. So it puts in effect that the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes a new covenant with his blood. That's when he prepared to die at Calvary, did he not say, this is the blood of a new covenant. And Hebrews 8 tells us when he says, new makes the first one old. That's why if you look at your Bible, man has put in Old Testament, New Testament. Okay? But Old Covenant, New Covenant. But once again, God has never made a covenant with the body of Christ. You've got to remember that. When you come to the earthly ministry of Christ, you enter to a special time of Israel's history. You enter into a time when the steps and the groundwork was being laid from the old covenant to be replaced. The old covenant condemned them. The Old Testament condemned them. That's why I don't understand when you let somebody put you back under this Old Testament, this old covenant, it condemns you. And if they can keep you condemned, guess what they can keep you doing? Keep you feeling guilty. Keep you coming back. Keep you giving. Keep you giving. Grace don't teach us that. Grace teaches liberty. Grace teaches who we are in Christ Jesus. And the old and it says that we're sinners and curse them that didn't keep it up. If you keep my covenant, then you get the kingdom. That type of thing. We tell our children that all the time when they're growing up. Many of us still want to tell our adult children that if you do this, you're not getting this. I'm cutting you off. And they didn't keep it, and they could not keep it. That's the thing. God gave them what they wanted over here. God gave us up over here to our sin, to ourselves. God gave Israel up here what they wanted, and they still couldn't keep it. And God promised to send them a Redeemer who would redeem them from the curse of the law and to do for them what they could not do themselves, give them their kingdom. That's the promise over here, a nation, a land, a kingdom, eternal life over there. Not right here, over there. Law fortified that distinction of the middle wall partition. It organized it and made it the middle wall of partition impregnable. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Keep your place there in Galatians and go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy is also known as the second giving of the law, second book of the giving of the law. And chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of our fathers giveth you." Do you see the law principle there? Do the thing, keep the covenant, and then you get the land. Verse 2. "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Now, they must give an exact, complete, full obedience. How many of us do that today under law? We don't. Now, we try to straighten up when we're under law, but we don't give it complete obedience. And they must obey it to a letter. Now, that is a problem, ain't it? How do you obey to a T? And if you keep all the law and offend in one point, James 2 says you're what? You're guilty of and you're breaking them all. Mm-hmm. You can keep every bit of that law and you're guilty in one little point of it and you're guilty of it all. And the law regulated every areas of their life. You know, it told them what kind of clothes they could wear, what kind of clothes they could not wear, what kind of food they could eat, what kind of food they can't eat, you know, couldn't eat, and all that good stuff. And it told them where they go, where they could live. And they could live next to and who they could not live next to. They told them who they could marry and who their seed not was not to mingle with each other. And if you're riding down the freeway and somebody stalled beside you a road, and if you did not stop to help the guy, guess what?
Guilty.
1 point. Funny how that Samaritan priest, the guy was on the road beat up, and that priest walked around him. He didn't help that guy, did he? Mm-hmm. Guilty. And that's the point, what we're talking about. These people do things that were different from the other way the rest of the world would live. So that's what that law did. It set them apart. It sanctified them. That's how I look at it, you know. Deuteronomy 4:5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God command me, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Circumcision, have God near to them. Uncircumcision, these people could see God was with the circumcision. Okay? That's what made them different. God was with them. He did things, worked miracles, signs and wonders. And people's like, wow, we want to be a part of that. Or they said, hey, I just serve my God out here. Rocks, moons, stars. They could see that because the people keeping those statutes and judgments, it would be their wisdom and their righteousness. What does that say back there? Wise and understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God not only wanted Israel back here to have that, he wants the body of Christ today. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all of this law which I set before you this day? Israel's law set them apart from anybody else and made it obviously that the God of the Bible, the God of Creator, was their God, the big G. Now, the little G's was still out there, wasn't they? The God of this world still out there working with this group down in here. And it demonstrated what is like to be a nation who had Jehovah God as their God. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land, whether I bring you to dwell thereon, spew you not out. Do you see yet? If they keep the commandments, then God will give them a blessing. Either they would keep the law or be thrown out of where? The land. They couldn't go in the land. That's their destiny over here. Verse 23. And ye shall not walk in the manner of the nation which I have cast out before you, for they committed all these things, therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put differences between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast and by fowl, or by any manner of living that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as what? Unclean. And you shall be holy unto me, for I am Lord, for I the Lord am holy. I have severed you from the other people, that ye shall be what? He took that group of people, he took Israel, the Jewish nation, and made that separation. He cut them off from the nations out there. And you see how what God gave them all the things to do? To demonstrate how he separated them from other nations. And he gave them a sign of the middle wall partition, circumcision, and then he gave them all the rules and regulations that fortified that distinction. That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? Think about all the rules and regulations we've been growing up ever since day one. What if we was a baby crawling on the floor and your parents just said, do whatever you want to. I watched like our grandchildren, you know, their mom was like, every time it bumped a little head or fell down, mom was like, oh, it made me so nervous. I was like, whoa, you know, let them be kids. If they fall down, they might just fall down once. They might not do it again. That type of thing. But you know, we fall down, we get back up. We fall down, we get back up. We learn some lessons like that. But as a parent, we're telling our kids to do this, do that. Israel, as a child, had a parent, God, the Father, and he taught them some things. And he wanted to be there. That was his child in this earth, Israel, his firstborn. So he wanted to nurture and give it and wanted to do things of his own. But they said, no, give us kings, give us laws, give us judgment. Galatians chapter 3. Told you to hold your finger there. Go to verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. When Paul said the law was added because of transgression till the seed come, it was important to understand what the law did to Israel by regulating all the activities and demonstrate Israel that Israel was a sinner and needed a Savior. That's what it's all about. And the law was there in order to teach them that they need a Savior. That law never teaches you how good you are. It may straighten you up. 22. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster to do what? Bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by what? Faith. It's faith that justifies today. That law will never justify you. And the purpose of the law was to show these people they needed a redeemer. That's what Isaiah said, behold, thy redeemer cometh and will set up a kingdom for you. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's see. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to share this with you. You're still in Galatians. Deuteronomy 28, God said, if you keep my commandments, here are the blessings. And in verse 15, it follows, God said, if you don't keep them, here are the curses. And everybody with good sense knows he didn't do it. Anybody right now knows Israel did not keep that law. Okay? And keeping... And you kept the whole law and offended at one point. What was it again? Guilty in what? All of it. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 tells you the problem. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curse is everyone that continue in not all things which was written in the book of the law to do them. So, what was Israel's condition in times past under the Mosaic Covenant?
To
keep the whole law. But it is that they were what? Cursed. And it's interesting, the last word in the last book, or the last verse in the so-called Old Testament, is the word curse. And what did God's, Galatians says, curseth him that's written. What Christ did at Calvary, he took that curse away. Amen. Okay? That you don't have to worry about that law no more. So Israel's condition back then. So God set them apart to be a nation and gave them the kingdom, but they are cursed. And they have broken the law and they need a savior. And politically, that's why the times of the Gentiles began. We went through that in the book of Daniel. If you really want to know what's going on today in the times of the Gentiles, go to the book of Daniel. And you can see that when Israel started whoring around with other nations, they broke the law, they become adulterated, they became a curse, they came up under Nebuchadnezzar. And from that point, Nebuchadnezzar, to all this point over here, is still the times of the Gentiles. And they violated the law, and God finally dispersed them as he told them that he would do back in Leviticus chapter 26. There's five courses of judgment laid upon them. And God told them if they break the covenant, he would promise them, and if they kept breaking it, then he would go another step. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. Courses of judgment kept adding to where now they're a curse. They've been a curse. So when John the Baptist shows up, there have been 400 years when Israel had been without a prophet. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? How many years was they down in Israel? Over 400 years. From Malachi to Matthew, we turn to Matthew chapter 3. The end of the Old Testament, Malachi, to the time John the Baptist shows up, there's 400 years of silence. God did not speak audibly, okay? They still had the Word. They could still study the Word. But all of a sudden, God sends John the Baptist to Israel, and in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 said, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent what? Ye." Why do they need to repent? If they were such a glorious group of people, and God separated them to be not a part of any nation, and God was with them, and it was a light of the world, were they? They needed to repent because they was cursed, okay? And they had failed to learn what the law was teaching them, so they needed to change their thinking. That's what repent means. Repent ye, therefore. Repent means change your mind. Just turn from what you're thinking over here and start thinking over here what God is doing. And for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what's needed to happen for the kingdom to come, the Redeemer would come to redeem Israel and cause them to rise into glory in the promised land over here. Now, I'm going to close this chart up right here. Because what we're talking about, when John the Baptist over here said, "Repent thee, therefore, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand," this kingdom wasn't so much when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking this earth, because I'll tell you why. When you come to earthly minister Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you enter in a period of Israel's history where there's something very special going on. It begins with the ministry of John the Baptist, and Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 16:16, it says, "The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it." They had the, what did he say? The law and the prophets unto John. And then now something else is going to happen. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And notice something new with John the Baptist. The law and the prophets is all that Israel had, okay? And they prophesied about a kingdom, way over here. They prophesied about a redeemer, right here. And they warned them about the wrath of God on Israel. The curses and what they broke, they have a wrath. They have a curse that had to be paid for. And when Lord Jesus Christ come, the redeemer that was going to redeem them from the curse of the law, okay, wrath and all that stuff. What did they do to him? Crucified him. Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of John the Baptist marks a new beginning in the national life of Israel, and that now the gospel of the kingdom begins to be preached. John the Baptist comes and says, repent, change your way of thinking, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when it's something at hand, it is what? Close by. It's not so much right here at me, but it's at hand. And within reach. And beginning with John the Baptist, the opportunity of the nation Israel is to redeem is present. In order for Israel to receive the kingdom, they first got to receive who?
The king.
Not only the king, but what we're talking about, a redeemer. Somebody redeemed them. Matthew 3:3. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist announces and presents the Lord Jesus Christ to Israel. And Jesus Christ is Israel's Redeemer. Whose Redeemer?
Israel.
Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who is his people? It's not me. It's not you. It's Israel. He came to save Israel. This distinction's still there. And when he would save Israel, he would redeem Israel. They'd become what God told them to be. And then they would have been a light of the world. The Redeemer comes to Zion, to all those that turn from ungodliness in Jacob. So John introduced the Redeemer, their king. Matthew 3:4. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and his leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. He looked like Elijah as he was dressed back in the book of Kings. That's why they kept saying, is he Elijah? Elijah must first come first, that type of thing. Jesus said, Elijah did come. That type of thing. So, verse 5. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all around about Jordan and all were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now Mark 1 calls it the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. When they repented, they identified together. And why would they be baptized? Well, Moses told them in Exodus 19 that they're going to be a kingdom of priests. Okay? Israel's going to be a kingdom of priests to minister God's authority on this earth. And Exodus chapter 29 tells you that when the priest is ordained to the ministry, a couple things has to be done. One, you wash him with water. You baptize him. And two, you anoint him with the Holy Spirit. Okay? You're knowing him with oil, which is the Holy Spirit. And what John is doing is gathering together the believing remnant in the nation Israel who are going to constitute the kingdom of priests in a holy nation in that promised kingdom right here. They had to be sanctified. They had to be washed. They had to be cleansed. That's why I keep telling you, you know, many of you know Jesus Christ was not baptized because of sin. He was baptized to identify himself with John the Baptist's ministry of the priesthood. And that's when he became a priest of the priesthood here. So when you get out there and you get amongst the religious world and they want to dunk you in water and all that stuff, you got to be very, very understanding of what you're doing. You're taking on something of Israel's program to become a nation of priests. The water baptism was a ceremonial cleansing from their idolatry and the ceremonial separation of Israel from the abomination of idolatry that their unbelief had gotten them into. See, every time you mention the word baptism, it don't mean water. it would behoove you to do that study. Baptism, baptismo, placed into, identify with. It fits everywhere in a Bible if you leave it like it is. And that's what they was doing over here. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now here's a group of religious leaders that's supposed to know and identify what God was doing. But what was they doing? Creating their own righteousness. They was holier than thou. And what did John the Baptist call them? All your brothers in Christ.
Vipers.
And you're afraid to tell somebody they're a viper. You're afraid to tell somebody because you offend them. John the Baptist didn't, did he? Apostle Paul didn't either. That's why I try my best not to sugarcoat many things. And sometimes, whether it's political or whether religious, you know, people says you can't talk about those two things. Guess what? You need to talk about those two things. And you don't have to go over and, you know, have a rock in your hand, you're going to believe this or not. You just say, hey, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever considered this? And there's some things going out there in this political realm that you need to be aware of. And when you understand what's going on in the religious realm, you can understand what's going on in the political realm, and you can make a decision, say, this ain't good and this ain't good, you know, but this is right. God, what God is doing is right in the dispensation of grace. And that's helped me understand that if the God of this world is running the world and he's merchandising and he's trafficking all kinds of things, okay, that's pleasing to the flesh, and the love of money, that's what everybody wants. They want that money, they want that power. The God of Creator ain't doing that. So the father of lies got people believing a lie over here politically. Guess what he could do over here spiritually? You can follow the God of this world thinking you're following God the Creator, and you're doing everything in the world to try to please God the Creator, and God the Creator says, I've done it all through my Son Jesus Christ. You know, if you want to please me, you please who? The Son. And the Son will please the Father, and the Father the Holy Ghost, and they complement all three themselves. And when you're in Him, and you're doing what He says you to do in the dispensation of grace, you're pleasing God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That'd be a good message, wouldn't it? But anyway, he talks about before John the Baptist looking for the coming of the Lord on this earth to set up a kingdom. These Pharisees and Sadducees probably had it made, sitting back in their little lavish homes and walking to the big temple and everybody bowing down to them and all that stuff, and probably kissing the rings and holding their hands like this and all that stuff, you know, much like you see today, these people going on. And he was warning the people to flee from the wrath to come and preaching the kingdom to come. Before the kingdom came, the wrath has to come. Before the kingdom comes over here, the wrath has to come. And that's what John the Baptist is telling the group of people over here, that if you flee from the wrath to come. Now, how in the world can you flee from wrath to come if you see it coming down the road? You better know who you're following. You better know who you believe. Now, in the trucking world, per se, my mind is looking down the highway at least 15 seconds, at least a quarter mile down the highway. And if you can do that, and you can see from your point way down there as far as you can see, and acknowledge what's coming and what's going beside of you, around you, if you happen to see brake lights up there, guess what you could do? You could slow down. If there's an exit ramp, you get off. That's what this principle is all about. He's fleeing. You got to know how to flee from the wrath to come. You're not going to avoid it if you're not in the right avenue, if you're not in the right vehicle. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did John the Baptist preach? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. what from this time forth, after John the Baptist got his head cut off, Jesus Christ begins to preach the same thing John the Baptist preached, and he didn't change that message, people. And Christ preaches the same thing, and he called it the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Some manners, all. Now, why all this healing ministries? Why would Jesus Christ come and heal and all that? It was hand, and it was a foretaste of the kingdom to come. Listen, over here, when God sets up his kingdom on this earth, there are not going to be no sicknesses and diseases. And the people is going to be made whole to walk in there. That's why the God that I serve, he did it straightway and immediately. Okay? Not after chemo. You know, I say that all the time, and many of you do too. Okay? People says God healed them, and they still have to take shots for this. And wear these stuff. Well, you're not giving God credit. Yes, I am. God made them whole. Because when you're made whole, you go in that kingdom. You don't go in their lane. And when they're over here, he says, pluck your eye out, cut your head off, hands off. You're still going to be made whole going in that kingdom. Very important stuff. And then the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 33:24, he says, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwelleth therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Even Isaiah knew what was going to take place over here in this kingdom over here. Now, this is a kingdom on earth, guys. It's not the kingdom. It's not the body of Christ over there. Because our program's a little different. Because when we die and God takes us out of here before this wrath takes place, pre-tribulation, okay, pre-trib, rapture takes place, he changes us. And he takes his vile body and changes it and fashions it like his what? Glorious body. So you're going to have a brand new body to go where? To be in the heavens. And when it's all said and done, Israel's going to have a new body over here. Body of Christ is up here. And the nations that's fallen Israel in this kingdom, everybody's going to get a new body and live forever. And I believe we'll be able to go back and forth. I would hope so. You know, I know I'm seated in heavenly places and that type of thing, but I'm hoping that I can take a furlough and come down and talk to Abraham and David and that type of thing. But anyway, in chapter 35, he says, the inhabitants of the kingdom will see sorrow and sighing flee away. And the reason for the miraculous ministry back in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is that the foretaste of the earthly kingdom as at hand, and the signs that the kingdom was being offered to the nation Israel. Once again, everything the Lord Jesus Christ was doing was prophesied over here that he would do. And the issue here is about the purpose of the nation being the kingdom nation. That king, and the law fortified the wall of partition, but also curses them. And because it demonstrates that they were sinners and need a redeemer, John the Baptist announces that the new opportunity and presents the redeemer. Behold, your God. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Okay? That's what John the Baptist was, just a forerunner. He was a mighty God, though. Even Lord Jesus Christ has said there's none in there better than him. And who has redeemed them and to take them into the kingdom. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, that middle wall partition is still up. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these, and he starts to name them. Notice in verse 1, they are 12 what?
Apostles.
Nope, they're 12 disciples.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In verse 2, they are called apostles after they're given power. And this is their commissioning of the 12 apostles. And it's when those disciples became apostles, is basically their ordination service. And in verse 5, here's their commission. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go in the way of the Gentiles, and in every city enter ye and start healing.
No.
Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and go not in the into any city of the men Samaritan, enter ye not. Now, what was a Samaritan? We call that a half-breed. He was half Jew, half Gentile. But they was in that northern kingdom up there, and they went up there, and they followed a king up there. A kingdom was split, and they became adulterous. They came whoring around with other gods. But go rather to the lost sheep of the what? House of Israel. You read back over, we shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people. He came to his own, and his own received him not. It's very clear, guys. They were to deal with a man based on that distinction, even back over here. And they were not to go to the way of the Gentiles. And they were only go only to the nation Israel. I know that's hard for us to swallow sometimes. I know you teach your children and have been taught that Jesus came for you. You do not find that in the books of Genesis through Malachi. You will not find that in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're getting ready to look at some of that. You will not find that for the first part of the book of Acts. Matthew chapter 15. We looked at this before, we're going to look at it again, and we're probably going to look at it about 15 more times in the next 5 years, if the Lord tarries. This is a very, very important passage in the book of Matthew. Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as king. And, I better pick it up a pace or two. Verse 21, Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, and Mark 7 tells us that she is a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievous vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. You should have that underlined. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, she crieth after us. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of who? The house of Israel. And he spoke to his disciples, not the woman. That middle wall is still up. He's not going to look at that woman. And verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, he finally talks to her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. That woman understood the blessings belonged to who? Israel. And that she was a Gentile on the wrong side of this wall. And in order to get her blessings, she had to put herself in submission under the nation Israel and then be satisfied with the overflow of the crumbs, Israel's blessings. Could you imagine that? Eating crumbs. We make a remark all the time when we eat, I'll eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, that type of thing. Because I'm hungry, I'll just be satisfied with that. That's blessings flowing down. Just a crumb of blessings to a Gentile in that time period would have been like the world that changed my mind. I'm with God, and God's with me. And not until she did that, she didn't receive anything. And that wall was still up. In Luke 19, it talks about, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save which are lost. You hear that all the time. People say, well, the Son of Man came to seek those lost. Well, I'm lost. You know, not now, but I was lost. And but the thing is, you got to read verse 9 before you read verse 10. Verse 9 says, "And Jesus said unto them," Zacchaeus, "this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the what? For the Son of Man came to seek those and save those that are lost." That Son of Man is come to seek that which is lost among the sons of Abraham. "I've come to but the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Where did Israel? Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. John 4:22 is a very, very important passage. You know, he told that woman at the up there in the northern kingdom, he looked at him and she offered him water, and she said, "Our fathers worship up in the mountain." He says, "You know not what you worship." He goes, "Ye worship, ye know not what?" John 4:22. "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew." We know in Paul's epistles in Romans 15:8 says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was made a minister of the circumcision, that the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father." Jesus Christ was a minister to the who? Circumcision. And the whole point of then is the wall of petition is still up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? That's the issue here. And the law was still in effect. The wall was still there. And us Gentiles down here could not cross that wall. We couldn't dig under it, couldn't jump over it, couldn't go around it. You had to go one way. And that's what John the Baptist was doing with the nation Israel. Now, in closing, some of you say I preach a long time. I'm just happy I preach more than 30 minutes like I used to. Usually you give me a message, I'm like 30 minutes later. Like one time I was preaching in Chicago, and we had I had 7 o'clock messages. And we started around 7:05, you know, sung a song, got right in there. By 7:35, I was closing my books and people was just coming in waiting. So I learned to slow down a little bit. You may not think I do. When you got a lot to share, you got a lot to share. But the thing is, when you're around the Word of God, we should just sit and relax and enjoy. I know some of you skirming and all that stuff. A lot of you like music. A lot of you like, you know, poetry and programs and stuff like that. I like the Word preached. And there's nothing wrong with all that, but we should get excited that we have a message today in the dispensation of grace that we're not under a law, okay? That Christ Jesus fulfilled that law. And when we're placed into Him and Him into us, we're not under a law that condemns us. Now, do we want to do good things? Do we want to do right things? Do we always do that? No. And what does God do? He takes us in the corner and spanks our bottom, right? Spiritually, He can. It should affect you when we do stuff wrong. And it does me. It does me sometimes. And because I'm being corrected. And that's why Paul, when he wrote the book of Corinthians, the Corinthians was a church that was doing things ungodly out there. And Paul came down hard on them, almost like this. And then the Corinthians was a book of correction, and that had to do with their behavior. So our behavior can get out of whack. And that's why we look at the book of Doctrine Romans. Then you read the book of Corinthians, and you see how God reproofed them, their behavior. Then you look at the book of Galatians, and Paul is correcting them in their behavior. Then the book of Ephesians is another book of doctrine that teaches us about our advanced mystery truths up here. He ain't talking about the earth. And Ephesians automatically assumes you already know what the book of doctrine is. You're already saved. Have you ever thought about, once Paul talks about being sanctified and being justified in the first being justified in the first five chapters of the book of Romans. He don't bring that up ever again. And when he writes his books, he writes to the saved individual. And you look at that, they can't be saved what they're doing. They are saved. And that's why when you trust that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, he places you in that body. Okay? You identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. And he saves you, seals you, and sanctifies you. And that's what God is doing today. And when you understand that, it's a lot better being under law. How many's been under law in religious systems? Many of us have. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you want to consider to help us out in donations, you can go to the donate button at our website. I think there's one on our YouTube channel. If you're watching us through our Facebook, we thank you for that. We'd love to hear from you as we continue to press forward in the dispensation of grace. Our website is www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. I'll be thinking about you this week, and by all means, you continue to think about us. In Jesus' name we pray, and we look forward to seeing you this time next week. God bless.